We've been cartridged with sanitizer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's the voice of Nick Vreni. Hello, Nick.
Good.
How are you?
Well,
Phil George there.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Great. Welcome into the studio. This is very special. This voice.
It's not coming. It's going. It's going. This voice is going to go. This is so different to my lounge room, I must say.
So long, farewell, I'll be just saying goodnight. I hate to go and leave this pretty sight.
There'll be time for farewells a little later, but it's sad today, Gav, because this is your last day.
Well, either that or it's a happy day.
I don't feel happy about it at all, quite frankly. I think it's really sad.
Everyone who listens to those Christmas carols and has to listen to me sing should be happy today.
Well.
And you're happy because you've got exciting prospects ahead of you. We're sad because it's the last time that we get you to be a part of our panel. But we're thrilled that you're here today and that we can send you off in an appropriate fashion. But we'll let people know more about what it is that you're going to be doing, and we'll wish you all the best towards the end of the program. But we have got more time with you guys, so people can call up and be a part of the show. As per usual, ask a question of either Gav or Phil or Nick and their areas of expertise. You've each come charged with some things that are of interest to you in your specific fields of expertise this morning. Just before you do that, I want you to know that this...
The following segment is general in nature and shouldn't be taken as personal professional advice. Listeners should seek their own independent assessment from a qualified advisor and not rely solely on the general nature of information in this program.
And if you have a question, 1300 222 720, get in early, especially you people who want to talk about property. This is Gavin's last day. We should give you the floor, Gav, because you want to talk about the building boom that's about to hit us.
Well, the real estate world in Perth has changed significantly in the last 2 weeks, to the point where if you talk to the builders and land developers, they're not getting much sleep at the moment because they're signing up so many people with the government grants that are coming out both federally and in the state. And land is being bought up, and yes, there are even signs of people camping out for blocks. So
it's
going on.
I have not seen that for years. Yeah. I haven't...
It's game on. It's really game on.
Can you give us some figures as to what we may see in regards to new builds?
Yeah, well, the new build market was absolutely on its knees prior to this. And you're seeing things like, you know, more sales perhaps in the last week or two from the land developers than they've seen in the last 3 months. You're going to see building industry pick up significantly. If we don't get building price increases, I'd be surprised, because the trades just aren't geared for such a step up in work. And ultimately that flows through to land prices, building costs, and ultimately flows through to the market. And it's a very positive sign. It's already having knock-on effects to the established market as well.
So, Gav, what proportion of that would be the pent-up demand, because we just haven't seen any activity basically since late February?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that, because I reckon half of it's pent-up demand and half of it's selling towards, you know, sort of tomorrow's buyers today. So I expect sort of the latter half of the year, before it runs out, will be sort of bringing forward a demand, beat the end date. And the first part of it is people that probably were sitting around perhaps 1, 2, or 3 years. Some of the builders are saying, these are the people I've been talking to 2 years ago. And all of a sudden, this is a reason why they should act. So there's a fair bit of pent-up demand there as well.
Good time to be a builder. What about to be a buyer?
To be a buyer, I think you've got to be very careful that you don't end up in a dislocated two-tier market where people are taking that free money, especially first-home buyers. They can get up to, you know, sort of starts at $15,000 and could end up at $69,000.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you end up costing you maybe, you know, $450,000 for a block and a house that you could go around the corner and buy the one that's 1 year old, for argument's sake, maybe, you know, $60,000 or $70,000 cheaper.
Yeah.
So you can end up with a two-tier market for the sake of taking free money. So I just caution people that just look at the established market of looking to buy a block and build, and just weigh it up, how much premium they're paying for that brand new, or that, you know, that drive that car off the lot type scenario.
What about the Federal Reserve, just quickly? We found out this morning that they were looking at economists within it at perhaps putting a hold on the sale of new homes. To try and sort of stave off the impacts of the COVID-19. Have you ever seen anything like that before?
Well, no, I haven't. In the stock market world, it's a trading halt. But if they put a trading halt on the market, I don't think it would calm the market. I think it would actually panic the market. Yes, bearing in mind, that was come back from March, and March was certainly uncertain times.
Yes.
People weren't going to be selling unless they had to. People weren't going to be buying unless they saw a bargain, and the market just quickly could step back 10, 15, 20%. And that's what we were faced with then. Very different world today.
Phil, what's on your mind?
Yeah, look, I suppose you're spending a lot of time thinking about what might be the investment themes for us to to try and capitalise on in this, I guess, post COVID-19 new normal. And these themes shouldn't come as great news to anybody. But I think what we're talking about here is themes that could play out over the next five, maybe even 10 years. So investors shouldn't think that that all the gains are made then. But I guess I think it's pretty clear that we're going to see an increased level of people working from home. So the natural flow on from that is okay. Security of data. What companies are likely to expand on the back of that theme. People also spending their, leisure time differently, particularly if they're spending more time at home. We've seen huge uptake in subscriptions for Netflix and also the new streaming offering from Disney. In fact, I was sitting on an investor call just recently for Netflix. Their subscriber numbers, or the way they described it, was they pulled through about a year of subscribers just in March alone. So that they'll be coming out with some clearer numbers, middle of July, I would imagine. But, watch that space.
They sent us an email saying that they have 15 million customers in Australia, but I just can't understand how that could be right.
Well, maybe
I'm pretty sure that they've got something like, three or four in every five households.
And they're counting those customer.
And how many employees do Netflix have in Australia, do you think?
None.
Zero.
Mm-hmm.
The other great theme, I think, is, we're starting to show up in the data, and that is that, Western companies are moving their supply chains away from China. So that looks clear, and there's a range of reasons for that. Where's the next factory of the world is something to think about. And also if we're establishing...
People would like it to be Australia.
They would like it to be Australia, but I think automations and robotics is going to have to be a big part of that shift.
Nick.
So much stuff going on linked to COVID-19, guys. We've got new Centrelink payments and all sorts of things. We've mentioned a few of them in the past. One of the interesting ones is the COVID-19 early access to super rules. Now, this is this little trick where if you've had reduced hours, your turnover's come down if you're self-employed by 20% or more, you can access $10,000 from your super tax-free. Now, bearing in mind, we've got about 15 million people in the Australian workforce. The figures just released in the last couple of days, 2 million have applied to access their superannuation. It's just an extraordinary figure. The average payout, bearing in mind it's a maximum of $10,000, is $7,475, which basically implies a lot of people are actually closing down their super fund. So these are possibly younger people who are getting out of the super, closing it down altogether, which has a flow-on effect of actually shutting down life insurance, which is quite important.
Mm.
But the thing that blew my mind away was some research put out by Illion, which is a credit bureau organisation in the last week or so, talking about how people are spending their 10 grand, okay? So now you would think that if you're in a position where you desperately need to access your dough, things like food would be top of mind.
Rent.
And it is, yep, all that sort of stuff. You know what represents 15% of the spend? Gambling.
Really?
It's just an extraordinary figure. So, and this is for blokes, so it's sort of unique to blokes in that respect. Women are spending about 11% of the dough on clothing in department stores, 6% in gambling. Top of the woz is, as it should be, repayment of debt. So that's at 14% for women. But I just found that quite terrifying, to think that people are taking their money out to have a bit of a punt. In fact, I spoke to Phil off-air a little while ago about how some people might be using it to trade shares because we've seen a big uplift in...
Yes.
Retail share investing through organisations like the online brokers CompSec and people like that. So quite fascinating what's going on. And I just warn people that providing you're putting it to a good purpose, no problem. But the issue is if you're not, bearing in mind that someone that's in their 20s that takes out 10 grand from super at the moment is potentially looking at damaging their retirement nest egg by more than 100 grand when they get to retirement.
And that's shattering.
In fact, just on that, Nick, we just recently put together some data on that just to model it. So if you had a starting... balance of $50,000 in your superannuation fund and you were really stressed about what was happening in markets and you took the opportunity to do your full withdrawal twice, so you're taking $20,000 out. After 10 years, the person who pulled money out, this is assuming you're employed, would have $132,000 versus $207,000 if you leave that money. And that's just over 10 years.
Yep, staggering stuff. So be very careful.